Good morning and welcome to episode 55 of Coffee with the Coder. Good Monday morning to you. Welcome, Paula, and welcome all of you who are dialing in just now. We've had a wonderful chat with the insiders, and if you'd like to be an insider, be sure to dial in at 10 o'clock instead of 10:10 when we start. Just before I ask Paula what we're going to talk about today, I want to mention that if you'd like to be on our text list, so that you can be reminded to dial in. I know sometimes Monday morning kind of starts kind of crazy and you may forget. Then you can just reach out to us in an email or phone call and provide us your text number, and we will make sure that you get texted in the 1 hour prior to the start. So, hey, Paula.
Good morning, Pam.
I have got a whole bunch of really cool questions here, and maybe they won't take a long time, and they're anonymous, which means something interesting for the audience. It means even if you aren't one of these people who asked one of these questions, you still might be the winner of the mugging today. So those of you who are new to the call, we do something called mugging. We have this wonderful commissioned cup for Coffee with the Coder with our branding on both sides, and we give one away free for each episode to someone who has asked a question non-anonymously. Only today, the only thing that's non-anonymous is your phone number. So if I can tell what your phone number is, I will call out the last four at the end when we pick a winner, and you can be the winner. If I do already know your name, I can use your name. But some of them are just numbers, and I just write the numbers down. Anyway, I hope that's exciting for you that you are in the running today. And let me just jump right into this question. This gets asked a lot.
Hey, Pam, hold on a second. Before, tell them how to get their mug if they win, just real quick. I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I will reach out to you on the phone number that I'm seeing here. So,
okay.
Like, if you're on a switchboard and you're calling in today, it would be really good if you could call me after the call if you think that might be your number. And my number is 877-976-6677. I did have one winner one time that I could never get the person because the number wouldn't connect. But anyway, we're going to try again today. And I believe that, I mean, there's some people whose names are on here, but mostly that's phone numbers. And so I will reach out to you and your number. And like I said, if you're calling from a huge place where everybody has the same phone number, you might want to call me after it in case this number seems like it might be yours. Do I want to go ahead and talk about specials, or should I go ahead and give you this?
Let's do that after the questions, so we can go ahead and get into the questions.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so like I said, this one's asked a lot, and the question is, should we report BMI when it's documented? So I guess that's all provider types? It doesn't say.
Yeah, it would be all provider types, and actually it's interesting that this question was asked this week because we were doing an audit, and it seemed like every time in that audit that the BMI was documented in the chart, which was every time, they were coding it. And it really is not appropriate just to code the BMI because it's documented. There needs to be relevance to the care that's provided. So in order to report it, you know, you would need to see a documentation to reflect why that BMI matters for the care that's being provided. And typically, you're seeing a diagnosis such as morbid obesity and a BMI of 54, you know, and I'm just saying that number. That doesn't mean it has to be 54. Or maybe you would see malnutrition with a BMI of 15. So there's a diagnosis to support the reason that you need to report that BMI. You don't just randomly report it on every single case.
Ah, thank you, thank you. And here's another one. Can we report anemia and pancytopenia together?
Okay, yeah, that was an interesting question, too. So the real quick answer on this one is if the two are documented as unrelated, you know, meaning if they have the same etiology, basically anemia can be a part of the pancytopenia, so you would just report the pancytopenia. But if there is documentation to reflect that it's two separate conditions, because you could have multiple types of anemia as well. For example, the patient could have acute blood loss anemia on top of a pancytopenia, and then you're going to report both in that situation. So it's not a clear-cut you always report them together or you always don't report them together. You really have to look at what's going on with the patient and how the doctor documents it. Now, here's another side to that, because I know that there's some other things I'm seeing in the questions out in the internet world, you know, where because of the electronic medical record and things being brought forward into every single encounter that have no relevance on the encounter, that may cause that to be challenging. But, you know, we do our best. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Here's this one with a little bit of specifics about a particular case. The patient had an etiology of acute chronic diastolic CHF, essential rehab secondary to generalized weakness. We're still actively treating the chronic CHF, the acute renal failure, and several other comorbidities. Do I use weakness as the principal, which is the 948 DRG, or the chronic diastolic CHF, which is a 292 DRG? Why is this so confusing? The person says that coding is difficult. It's understanding the way to sequence for some of this stuff. It's so foreign to use a symptom instead of a diagnosis.
Right. So this is an inpatient rehab facility case, but it is not talking about coding for the ERF-PI. It's talking about coding for the UB04. And, of course, for those of you in that world, you know there's two different rules for coding on the UB04 versus the claim form. And the ICD-10 guidelines are, you know, pretty much as clear as mud on this point, because, you know, basically what it says is if the condition still exists, you report it. If it doesn't, you report the aftercare for it. So in this case, when you have the acute on chronic CHF, and if the patient is still in an acute on chronic phase when they go into rehab, then you're going to report the acute on chronic as the principal diagnosis as well. I know it looks strange, but you will. The condition still exists. That's what the guideline says. If it is now chronic and there's no longer in the acute phase, then you would report the chronic CHF as the principal diagnosis on the claim form. Don't get that confused with the etiology, although in this case, the etiology would be the acute on chronic, because that's what caused the problem, and that's on the ERF-PI. So I want to be very clear what goes on the ERF-PI versus on the UB04. Now, if there happened to be some type of surgical procedure, then that aftercare for the surgical procedure would most likely be the principal diagnosis, okay? So in this case, you're not going to report the weakness as the principal. And I want to talk to you just a minute about when we moved to ICD-10 and they changed the DRG grouper, what they did, and it's kind of interesting because none of us, I don't know of one facility that is reporting ICD-10 PCS codes for rehabilitation cases. But in many, many cases, when you have that medical diagnosis as the principal and you have therapies in the PCS part of the UB04, it then groups to a therapy DRG or a rehab DRG. But because we are not in the industry reporting those therapy PCS codes, they're not grouping appropriately. I think that, and this is just me, I haven't read this anywhere. This was just through study of figuring out how they created the logic of all this. But I think it's going to create some bad data on the back end, of course, but that'll be just some unintended consequence that we have to deal with. But for this situation, because the CHF still exists, then it would be reported as the principal diagnosis on the UB04.
Thank you. I think I might need to stop there because it's almost 10:20.
Okay.
And let me go ahead and tell you what the special is. For those of you who dialed in today, if you dialed in for the regular call at 10:10, we are offering our entire library at AQIQ for the month of February for only $50. And, of course, in order to get the special, you need to reach out to me, call or email, by the 31st of January so I can get you turned on by February 1st. And you'll get not just one course, not just $50 a piece, $50 for the entire library. So everything that's there, and we're excited about that. Revenue Warriors is going to be opening up really soon. We're excited about that. I think Paula may have another thing to say about that. And the next webinar is on January 31st, and we're talking about the laboratory reporting because there was quite a few updates in CPT And then we're going to discuss those on the 31st. So did you want to say something else about Revenue Warriors before
well,
I
just
start
want to make sure
drawing?
That those of you, those of you who didn't call in as an insider, you know, the insiders get that entire library, and that's access to that entire library, almost 200 courses for the month of February only for $40. So you really want to be an insider, get those extra special deals. But those of you who called in after at 10:10 or after, then that special is $50 for the entire month of February, and you reach out to Pam for that. But, yes, Revenue Warriors is opening up pretty soon. I just want to keep you involved, keep you on the website, you know, keep you on the Facebook pages, keep you calling in. Send in your questions, oh, my gosh, because Revenue Warriors are getting so many benefits now, and we're you know, like they get free courses every once in a while. They get expert interviews, which we've got a lineup. I've been anxiously awaiting this year to get my lineup started so that they can talk, you know, hear expert interviews for folks in the industry. We talk to attorneys and some, you know, credentialing folks. We talk to just all different types of consultants and talk to each other as well. So it's a place where you can be safe, be a part of it, and have, you know, access to a consultant on your shoulder, if you will, without, because as I'm going out looking at these blog, looking at these Facebook pages, without all the marketing thrown at me, oh my goodness, I want my questions answered, and I don't want to have to read through all the marketing. So it's a place that where you can go and be a part of a group and support each other, and you know we support you as well. So really excited about that opening up very soon.
Yes, yes. Okay, now I'm going to give away a mug. So I'm going to mug somebody, and I don't know your name. So if you're dialing in from the number that ends in 5968, I will try to reach out to you, although I don't know your name. It looks like it's a facility, so I won't out your name unless you tell me it's okay. But congratulations to phone number 5968. And we're so excited that you came today for episode 55 and looking forward to all the stuff we mentioned and episode 56, which will be 2 weeks from today on the 28th of January. So thank you so much for being a part of Coffee with Decoder.